free to kind of come out of our shells a little bit, right? So this whole thing of stability and security has just been kind of in my head for the last few weeks, for the last month or so. And so that's kind of what I want to talk out of from for this morning. There's a few spots in Scripture where it kind of, I got to throw these out there as these are things just talking about this being available to us or it actually being needed, being required for us. Isaiah 33:6 is a popular one that it's actually the verse that came to my mind just because it uses the word stability, where Isaiah says, "Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure." And it's, I just love that statement that wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times. They're just saying in wisdom and knowledge and in understanding will be our stability. Our security. And an interesting thing about that, it goes on to say, and the strength of salvation, the fear of the Lord is his treasure. And the thing that's it's interesting about those things being tied together, the fear of the Lord, if you read it in Proverbs and other spots, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Okay? So wisdom and knowledge being the stability of our times, that's rooted in, that wisdom is rooted in the fear of the Lord, okay? And to take that a step further, the fear of the Lord is linked to the revelation of His mercy and His kindness, okay? Psalm 130:4 says, "With you there is forgiveness, and therefore you are feared," right? God is the one, like, so God is perfect in holiness. He's just, He is righteous, and every one of us, it says, has fallen short of that standard. And so God has the right, He has the right, the legal right to punish. Right? And yet with Him there is forgiveness. It reminds, and that produces a sense of fear or of indebtedness to Him. It reminds me of the movie Gladiator. Everybody who has seen, Ben, no. Who's seen Gladiator? Anybody seen it? Okay. For those who haven't, go see it or rent it. But there's a scene where, so the main guy, Russell Crowe, it's like his first bout in the arena. So it's in the Roman times. He's a gladiator in the Colosseum, like fighting for his life. And he's this nobody, and he beats a lot of these like kind of like the established like champions, right? And he's got the one guy down right at the end, and he's going to And basically, it's there, like, he can finish this guy if he can kill him, or you know, that's what he's kind of supposed to do. And he looks to Caesar, and everyone looks to Caesar, and Caesar gives the thumbs up or the thumbs down, like kill him or let him live, right? So, it just makes me think of that scene where the Caesar goes, you know, take him out, kill him, and Russell Crowe just walks away and lets him live. And just this, there's just this sense in there of the power that this guy had, supposed to be Caesar, and this guy kind of took it for himself, but the power of thumbs up or thumbs down, and you live, and just the power that's in that, but just that he had the authority to let live or die, and like ultimately that's God's, and the fact that he gives us the thumbs up, right? The fact that he gives us forgiveness. It's something that produces, when we realize that, when we recognize our need for that and that He gives it, that produces a measure of fear, like a healthy fear. It's not terror of Him, but an awe of God that He would do that for us. And another one in Romans 2:4, like Paul says, again, a well-known verse where he says, "Do you not know it's the kindness of God that leads you to repentance?" It says, He doesn't force us or break us into repentance. He leads us there with His kindness. And those two verses there, they produce a sense of the fear of the Lord. That's where the fear of the Lord comes from, I think, in a big way. And that understanding, right? So the fear of the Lord, having that healthy awareness of our need for forgiveness and that He offers it to us, that's the beginning of wisdom, right? And wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of our times. It's that understanding of who God is and how He relates to us. It produces stability for us. It produces stability. And in Isaiah 33, it's talking about a time where there's chaos and tumult in the nation of Israel and around there. And he's saying, this will be your stability in the middle of all that shaking. There's stability. There's a promise of stability or security even in the midst of everyone around you being shaken. Luke 21, Jesus is talking about, like the disciples are asking him, how will we know when you're returning, right? Because he was going to go to the cross. He's kind of telling them that. When can we look for your returning? And Jesus goes to explain, describe a lot of things. And he talks about, in verses 25 to 28, he talks about a time where fear will be so rampant in the earth that men's hearts will fail them for fear. People literally dying of heart attacks because of fear. Because of fear. I remember one place I used to work, we used to enjoy scaring each other. Like we would try to surprise each other, and you know, it was what we do. And it was funny because when I get scared, I freeze. I don't, you know, a lot of people give a big reaction, and that's what everyone's looking for, right? Well, if you scare me bad, I'll freeze for a second. And the problem with that is that people thought I couldn't be scared because I wouldn't give these reactions, right? So of course I'm not. Of course, I wasn't going to let on that they were. And I remember a couple times where I swear my heart missed a beat or two. That someone scared me so bad. But I didn't show it. I never let on that I was scared, right? Because I was winning. But I came close to understanding that thing of my heart failing me for fear. Like, in a kind of a comical sense. But it's true. Like, there are times, and you see it and hear of it in rare occasions, but Jesus said there will be times when there will be so much chaos and fear in the earth that people will literally die from fear. Right? He's saying that, but actually I'm gonna read the actual words there, just so we can finish that part on a happy note. Luke 21:25-28, there will be signs in the moon, in the sun, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. I'm sorry, I look around, but I see a lot of distress in nations, and I see a lot of perplexity. I see a lot of things that there's no easy solution to. There's a lot of perplexity. Men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens, the very powers of the heavens being shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And here's what he finishes with. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. So he's saying in the midst of all this shaking and fear and distress and perplexity in the nations, he tells his people, actually, lift your heads up. Like that, he said, this is actually time for you to have hope and for you to expect something good. Not to be consumed in fear like everyone else. He says, in the middle of that, you can have hope. You can have an expectation of good. And that's kind of what he has available for us. John 14:27, Jesus says, my peace I leave with you. He says, I don't give peace like the world gives peace. He says, I give you a real peace. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Even while we're in the world, he said, your hearts, there's a lot of things that will happen that could cause trouble for your hearts. But he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. I'm giving you peace. And he says, I've overcome the world. Right? He says, you can have peace in the midst of all that. So there's just a few things. For people in general, there's a need for stability, for peace. But for believers as well. Because he promised us, if we are his believers, if we are his representatives in the earth, we will have trouble. He said, the world hated me, so don't think that you'll get through life without the world hating you. It'll come. It'll happen. And so there's a need for us to have this peace and to have this stability. And so here's where I think we find it. Ephesians 3, verse 16. And this is, we talked about this a few years ago. This is one of the spots in the New Testament where you find a prayer that Paul actually prayed. Okay, we call them, like collectively we call them the apostolic prayers, or the prayers of the apostles prayed. And if you're ever wondering, you ever wonder, like, if you're praying something that, like, you ever wonder if you're praying something that you can actually pray, or that God will listen to? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm praying this, is this okay to ask for this? If you ever have that question, pray one of the apostolic prayers, because it's guaranteed that it's in agreement with God's heart. God breathed this prayer through Paul, put it in Scripture. All Scripture is God-breathed, right? All Scripture comes from Him. So this prayer, if you pray this prayer, you're actually agreeing with what God wants to do for you or for someone else. So pray these prayers, and you know without a shadow of a doubt it's a prayer that will be heard and answered, right? Because it's, you're praying God's heart. Ephesians 3, verse 16. I'll start from verse 14. For this reason, from what he's talking about before, about the mystery and everything, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he, here's the part, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in your inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Here's, I think this is like a beautiful summation of, here's where we find and get stability. Okay? So if you feel insecure in your life, if you feel troubled, if you feel a lack of peace, if you feel like you're looking for stability, pray this prayer for yourself. Pray it. Because there's three indications here. Number one, the part to be strengthened with might through His Spirit, through the Holy Spirit in your inner man. That is one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit, is actually to strengthen you in your spirit. Because if you're shaken, if you're troubled, if you're not at peace, if you're troubled, it's usually right down to your spirit. Like, your spirit is your inner man. I think it's where most of life happens inside of you, is in your spirit. And the promise is the Holy Spirit, John 14 through 16, those three chapters, Jesus was telling the disciples, here's what's going to happen. He says, when I go, here's what's going to happen. And for three chapters, he's teaching them on the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit is going to come to, he calls the Holy Spirit our helper or our comforter. Our comforter. And the word that's used there, the Greek word, it actually means to come alongside someone to aid them. Like, he's actually, the Holy Spirit is here to actually help us. And one of the ways he helps us is he brings comfort. He stills when things are tumultuous, when we feel anxious, when we're not at peace, when we're in fear, he comes to aid us with that and to bring comfort, to actually quell those fears, those pains, and bring peace. That's part of his job. That's what he's here for. That's right, wonderful counselor. He's here to do that for us. That's his job. And so Paul calls on the Holy Spirit here. He prays that the church, the believers in Ephesus would be strengthened with might through the Holy Spirit in their inner man. He doesn't just bring peace. He actually empowers and brings strength. He strengthens us, okay? So that's the first part. Just asking for that. That is one of the things. And we don't even need a reason to ask for that. We don't have to, you know, we don't have to give God a good reason as to why he should do that for us today. Like, that's just what the Holy Spirit does. He's there to do that. You can just ask him for that at any point. You can ask for peace. The next part here, that Christ would dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. And I want to focus on that, rooted and grounded, because that's the part that's kind of most stuck with me through this, is this picture of being rooted and grounded. And so obviously, like for me anyways, this is obvious, I don't know if it's obvious to you, that makes me think of a tree, right? So when I think of a tree being rooted and grounded, I think of the root system, right? Everybody tracking with me so far? Okay, the root system. And what the root system does for a tree is like two main things. And if you know about trees, you could probably, you know, Erwin, you might be able to correct me on some of this or take it further. But two things that I think of. Number one, the root system provides nourishment for the tree. The root system is what feeds the tree. Okay, roots go down into the soil. They find water. They find nutrients, and they draw those up into the tree to feed the tree. Right. So rooted and grounded speaks of our source of nourishment and the like what we're feeding ourselves with. And the second thing is the root system provides strength when there's trouble, where there's resistance. Most notably, when there's wind. You get big wind storms, okay? The larger the tree, the more, when there's heavy winds, the more surface area of the tree there is to actually be standing against one. So there's more force, there's more pressure pushing on the tree. The larger the tree, the more pressure that comes when there's wind. Therefore, the deeper root system that is required to hold that tree in place. Right? The root system is the actual strength of the tree to resist pressure, to resist wind, to resist storms, to resist things that come up. Right? And so Paul's praying for their root system. He's praying that they would be rooted and grounded in love. There's a few pictures of this whole rooted and grounded thing in Scripture. You can write some of these down. I'm going to read one to you. It's the first psalm, the very first psalm. Okay. The other ones, I'll just give you them to write them down. Genesis 49, verse 22. It's the prophecy, the blessing Jacob spoke over Joseph. And he called Joseph. He said, you'll be a fruitful bough or a fruitful vine planted by a spring. It climbs up over the wall and bears fruit. So it actually, this picture of him being planted or being rooted and grounded by a spring, by a source of water, and actually able to grow and overcome obstacles and still bear fruit. There's that. Ezekiel 47:12, which is again referenced in Revelation 22. It talks about trees being planted by the river that proceeds from the throne room of God and how it continuously bears fruit. And it never withers, never dies, and even its fruit or its leaves, the fruit it produces is for the healing of nations. It actually produces fruit that heals, that brings healing to those around. But this Psalm chapter 1, it's just a great psalm. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also will not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. Verse 4, but the ungodly are not so. They are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. I love that picture there. It's exactly what we're talking about. It's saying the one who delights in the law of the Lord, or delights in his word, who delights in his ways, he will be like a tree planted, right? Rooted and grounded, planted by the rivers of water. And with all these things of being planted by rivers, again, something that comes up consistently through the word as a picture is that the river, whenever you see rivers, they often speak of the Holy Spirit or the presence of God, like being near Him. It's the river is often depicted as, especially in Ezekiel and other places, flowing or emanating out from the throne room of God. It's like from Him goes this river, and it brings life everywhere. It's the life of God. It's the life flow of God. It's His presence, right? And all these passages talk about being planted close to, in close proximity to His presence, to His life source. We want to plant ourselves in a place where our roots can actually draw from the waters of that river. That's what it's talking about, is planting ourselves close to, and really planting ourselves close to Him. And the way we do that, the way we intake of His water and His nutrients, it's the Word. It's actually just reading and being in the Bible. It's prayer. Talking to the Holy Spirit, just talking to Him, and it's worship. Worship is essentially prayer sung. It's the same idea. It's communicating with God. I think a simple way I think of it is prayer is agreeing with what God wants to do. That's why we pray prayers from the Bible, like Ephesians 3:16. And worship is agreeing with who God is. It's in prayer we agree with what God wants to do. In worship we agree with who He is. It's just aligning ourselves with Him. It's keeping ourselves close to Him in that way. Does that make sense? Yeah. Kind of? Okay. So it's really just the Bible, worship, and prayer. That's how we keep ourselves planted by the river, right? Because prayer and worship, it's when we do that, it's communicating with God by the Holy Spirit, whether in prayer or in song. But the promise that comes out of this is when we are planted by these rivers of water, by His presence, by the Holy Spirit, we bring forth our fruit in season. There's a faithful production of fruit. We bear fruit, and we're going to get to John 15 in a minute as well. We know that one. Our leaf will not wither. There won't be rotting or degrading. There's health, right? There's stability. There's health in that way. And whatever he does shall prosper. That's a cool promise. And he also gives the opposite then as well. He says the ungodly are not so. The ones who are not planted by the river are not like this. They are like chaff which the wind drives away. So here's that picture again of a tree with a deep root system. When wind comes up, it can stand secure. It's stable, right? It's not moved. It's not shaken. Those who are not planted by the rivers, it says when wind comes up, they're just blown away. There's no stability. There's no strength. They're tossed every which way the wind is going. Right? And we see a lot of that today. I see, when I just look at news reports and stuff like that, if you ever, I tell you, look on Twitter even. Like if you see something like discussions about what's going on with, I'll just, one example, American politics. Oh my goodness, you see people blown every which direction, in every which way. It's crazy. You can read, there can be something that's said, and it's taken in two completely polar opposite ways. There's no understanding or middle ground. It's just people blown all over the place. It's wild. There's no stability. There's no ability to get along, it seems. Like it's just people blown all over the place. It's wild watching it. All this perplexity and everything. The promise is if we stay rooted and grounded by the river, by his presence, by his spirit, the promise is stability. The promise is we won't be blown away like chaff when the winds come up. We'll be stable. We'll be secure. Okay? Couple other verses on this. Just how the Holy Spirit feeds us. Okay? So again, the roots feed and strengthen us. Number one, feeding us. Part of the Holy Spirit's job was, Jesus said, to remind us of all that Jesus taught and all he said. And that's in John 14, verse 26. The Holy Spirit's job is to take of what Jesus said and who he is and to reveal it to us. That's how he feeds us. He feeds us by taking what Jesus said and teaching us of it. And the second part, another one, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 12. I love that passage. It talks about how, like Paul says, no one knows the man truly except the spirit of the man. Like nobody knows you like you know you, right? Like there's like one way we could say it says like a lot of people carry secrets that nobody knows about except themselves, right? Nobody knows the man except the spirit of that man. He said, in the same way, nobody knows God like the spirit of God does. And he says, Paul says, the spirit of God searches the deep things of God, not just the surface thing. He searches out the deep things of God and reveals them to us by the spirit. That's a really cool promise. That's a picture of not just roots, not just staying with the easy stuff in the soil, but going deep and finding rich nutrients. There are deep things about God that he wants to reveal to us by the Holy Spirit. That feeds us in a way nothing else can. It provides strength to us when we tap into that. And as far as strengthening us, John 14, 27, I referenced it earlier. Jesus promised he gives us peace by the Holy Spirit, even in the times of trouble. Another one, Hebrews 6, verse 19. And we covered this when we went through Hebrews a couple years ago. It talks about, in talking about Jesus being our high priest. And so in all of that, that whole discussion is about how Jesus paid for our sins by dying on the cross and made everything right for us with God. Right? That's really in a nutshell. And it says of him in Hebrews 6:19, it says, this hope we have as an anchor for us within the veil. And within the veil talked about the holiest of holies, where God was in the Old Testament in the tabernacle, where it was where God's presence was in concentrated form, so to speak. And it was so pure and holy that one guy, one high priest, could go in once a year, and he had to prepare himself for like a week to make sure he was clean to do it, right? And the writer of Hebrews is saying, this hope, Jesus, we have as an anchor. Anchors provide stability, right? Anchors keep us stable when waves are rocking us and everything. We have that as an anchor within the veil, like right in the very presence of God, is Jesus Christ our anchor, right? And it's, again, that whole discussion in Hebrews was about him providing forgiveness for us and atoning for our sins, which of course is a revelation of his love, right? It's a revelation of how he did that because he loves us. And so what I'm trying to wrap this all up with in here is in Ephesians 3:16 there, or in 3 verse 17, he says that you being rooted and grounded in love. Okay? And that's the thing I want to end with there, is that our stability, our strength, our stability is rooted in the understanding and experience of his love. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. It's in understanding how much he loves you and actually encountering that. Yeah. Actually experiencing it.
Yeah.
Okay? That's part of our inheritance as believers on the earth, is that we actually get to tap into and experience or feel that affection for us.
Yeah.
That's available for us. Okay? And again, this is referencing being rooted and grounded. It's that whole, I mentioned this earlier, John 15 thing. That, if you remember John 15, we talked about it a lot a few years ago. It's the thing Jesus said, abide in the vine. He says, branches that abide in the vine bear fruit, and they do what they're supposed to do. There's that whole call that God has given us as a body to abide in the vine. Again, it's keeping ourselves planted or anchored or rooted in him, in his source. It's abiding in the vine is the same thing as being planted by rivers of waters. Do you see that? It's the same picture. It's just saying, feed yourself on him. Get your sustenance, your strength from him. And it's, again, it's in the revelation of his love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. This is the last passage we'll read here. 1 John chapter 4. Whoops. Where John says this, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. The whole root of a lot of fear or instability is just a fear of, where do I stand? Where am I going to land after all this? How is this all going to play out for me? Right? That's what creates, that's a lot of fear in uncertain circumstances, is this whole thing of what's going to happen to me, right? How am I going to come through this? What's going to look like at the end? Whatever. The understanding of his love and affection for us quells those fears. It puts them to rest. When we understand that God is, so we know this with our heads, that God is all powerful, right? He's omnipotent. He's all knowing. He's omniscient. And we know that in the end he wins, right? And so if we believe that that is God, if we believe that truly, that's truly him, and if we believe that he loves us and has chosen us and keeps us close to himself, then that gives us peace in any circumstance. Because we know that God is for us. He will never let anything happen to us. And sometimes our definition of that needs to be adjusted a little bit, okay, to see it in his eyes. He will never let us go. The biggest thing is Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Okay, that's the key of it all. And that gives us peace and stability in any season of turmoil. In any season of turmoil. It doesn't necessarily mean that everything in the circumstance will turn out rosy the way we want it to, but it means we will always remain in his hand. We will never be separated from his love. Right? And so that's the thing I just wanted to highlight here. And actually, I'll finish with this quote. I saw this quote last week. Just kind of made me think of this even more. And the quote was, the most stable people on earth are the ones who, she's a different language, but are the ones who acknowledge and experience the love of Jesus. The most stable people on earth, the ones who are the most immovable, are the ones who know that and experience that God loves them. Right? And if you think about it, it's true. If you think about it, anyone whose identity is in their position or their job, they will probably lose it. One day they will lose it. If their stability is in their in their money, in whatever else, those things can all be shaken. But people who are rooted and grounded in the knowledge of his love are immovable. They can be stable through any circumstance, through any season. Okay? So I just want to end with that, and so let's stand. I'm just going to pray to finish this. The last thing in there is just he says this, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend or experience with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. The prayer is that we would know the love that passes knowledge, that we would know the love that is impossible to know, right? And the word is to experience the thing that our minds will never be able to fully grasp. That's the extent of His love. It's funny, we sometimes wonder if He still likes us or loves us, and Paul's saying His love is beyond comprehension. You cannot fully grasp it, the limits of it. So of course He still loves you. Like it's deeper than anything we can think of. Okay? So let's just finish this. Father, we thank You for today. I thank You for what You've been doing in our midst, for how You've been speaking to us. Lord, we ask You that You would grant us to be strengthened with might by Your Holy Spirit in our inner man. Father, I pray for those of us who are in seasons of turmoil and fear and chaos. Father, I pray for Nigel with his mom and just the uncertainty there. Holy Spirit, would You rise up in Nigel with strength and with comfort? Would You comfort him in this season and the rest of his family? Father, we ask that You would rise up in us by Your Holy Spirit in our inner man to give us peace, that You would dwell in our hearts through faith, and that we would be rooted and grounded in Your love. Father, I ask that You would help us to plant ourselves, to plant our minds and our hearts by Your rivers, by the understanding of You, by the knowledge of You, that we would be people who take in the Word and who are actively engaged in prayer and worship as a lifestyle, that we would feed our hearts on You and on the knowledge of how You love us. Would You help us to feed our hearts on that? And finally, Father, would You allow us to experience Your love? Would You allow us to... I ask that when we are in the Word, when we are in prayer, when we are in worship, Father, I ask that You would release a sense of the experiencing or the tasting of Your love. I ask for each one of us that we would begin to encounter it and taste it in ways that we haven't before. Lord, that we wouldn't just walk through life dull and disconnected, but Lord, would You let us feel and sense Your affections for us? Would You convince our hearts of Your affections, and would You strengthen our spirits through this? And Lord, we ask You just for Your promise that You would give us peace in all situations, that our hearts would not be troubled, that our hearts would not be moved, but that we would have stability in the understanding of Your love and affection for us. We thank You. We love You. We ask You, go with us, Holy Spirit, and help us to keep our hearts planted by You this week, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.